Ons sê beter. Ja, soos Kim vroeger gesê het, is vir ons 'n voorreg om saam met julle te wees. Dit is altyd 'n voorreg. Dit is, ja. En dit is ook 'n voorreg om saam met Kim en Loreen die tydjie te kan spandeer. En selfs die verrassing met Phil en Marley en hulle dogters nou vanoggend. Maar soos Kim ook gesê het, ons is deel van iets baie groter. Dis nie net die kerk, Josh Jane hier op Swellendam, of op George, of waar Wimpie is nou, Stilbaai, Oudtshoorn. Kim sê vir my, dat is nou 33 gemeentes, congregations, maar ons is een kerk. En ons weet, een kerk as Josh Jane, met Andrew en Ems, hou asseblief aan bid vir Emsie. Sy is nog baie siek. Hulle het daai pot ingesit, maar die are het nou, hulle is nou, hoe kan 'n mens sê, hulle is eintlik totaal, hulle is pap. So hulle kan daai are, die hoofare nie gebruik nie, so daar's nou iets in die nek, in Emsie se nek. En dit is seker baie ongemaklik. Maar hou aan bid. Ons vertrou in die Here. Amen. En ja, ons is Josh Jenner. Ons sê, hoe kom Josh Jenner dan as Joshua? En daar Yeshua, hy, en dit is 'n woord wat ek nou vanoggend vir julle wil bring, hy het altyd bo oor alles in die wat die Here hulle belower het hy geglo, sy vertroue was in daai woord. Nou wat is die woord? Selfs Martin nou uit Adelaide, hy sal seker die kant toe kom, as hy nou weer oor, dierbare paartjie, Martin en Carrie Ann, so wild soos 10, hy is eintlik 'n Nieu-Zeelander, maar hy maak asof hy Australian is, maar hy is nie. Hy kom van die kleinerige eilandkie, maar dierbaar. Father, I want to ask this morning, please, that you would allow our minds to be renewed. I thank you for what you do. I thank you for what you do in spite of us. I want to ask in areas where we have the ability to believe, strengthen that. Where we have areas to believe more. Help us in our unbelief, Lord. Allow your word to stir up something within us. Allow us to see you as you are. And it's difficult for us, Father. We can't see you like we do each other. We can't touch you. We can't hear you. In actual fact, we just believe because your word says so. But your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, He said to Thomas, Thomas, now that you've seen me and you've touched me and you've heard me, you believe. But there's going to be a group of people living in Swellendam in the year 2021. They're going to believe not only in me, but they're going to believe me, even though they've never seen me. Let me tell you, Thomas, they're going to be more blessed than you. I've got something special for them that you're not going to have, because they're going to step out in this area of not seeing. And so, Father, I do ask this morning, allow something to be created within us that will change us again. Change us, dear God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask if you could just put up that verse, Deuteronomy 1, verse 28, from the Old Testament. And of course, it has to do with the spies going into the promised land, coming out, and then giving the report, and Joshua and Caleb. I always thought personally Caleb would be the one to take them into the promised land, because Caleb was the one who was front-footed. Caleb was the one who said, we need to believe God. Caleb was the one who wanted to give those other 10 a clap. But Joshua was the anointed one. He was God's choice, and sometimes your ability doesn't qualify you for the job on hand. It's the anointing. So even thinking of those 30 that came over the hill to join King David, you read some of the things they did. Their abilities were far greater than King David. I mean, some of them killed, it mentions by name, Goliath's other four brothers. It says that the sons of the giant, and then it mentions them by name. So David took those five stones because he must probably thought, oh, Goliath had his four buddies with him there, you know. So he was ready to sort them all out. But although they were more gifted, I mean, the one guy, it says, he was on his way in the snow and he saw a lion in a hole. So he jumped in the hole and killed the lion, then climbed out and went on his way again. I said, leave a lunt, you know. Who does things like that? Another one, it says, defended a field. And the armies kept coming, but he stayed in the middle of the field until the blood of the enemy caused his sword to stick to his hand. Until they must have thought, yeah, let's just get out of here. And they must have just been like the film 300. They were just around him, you know. But so there were men more gifted than, but it was the anointing. And I want to say it's like that with us too. Don't look to the left and to the right and be intimidated by gifting. Now, God's not interested in gifting. He's interested in anointing. And it's his desire to anoint us, to fill us, to control us, to take that which is weak. He says he can only show his strength in that which is weak. So if you here today and you say, well, I'm not one of those who glows in the dark and sleeps with the angels, you know. I know my limitations. No. I want to say, if you are always looking to be validated, you know, you get some people, they always want to be validated, you know. The one to whom you give the power to validate you, you give the power to invalidate you. There's only one person who validates us as children of God, and that's God himself. And he never has a desire to invalidate us. He always wants to bring us into more. But as I read now, I'm busy with a book, some great insights. And one of the little sayings that he repeats is that sometimes the long way around is the shortest way home. You know, sometimes you want to take a shortcut, and oh, yes, the things you never expected on that shortcut. And it's like that. Some of us men know you're going to do a job. The wife just wants something drilled and hung up on the wall. I mean, that's a small job. Yeah, but like us, when I put the toilets into Edgemead building, when we were building it initially, the guy says, well, how do we know there's no pipes? So I went like this, and I put my finger on the wall, because it was for the urinals. I said, drill just here, and you're safe. Vrach, he hit the main pipe. And we couldn't find the stopcock to switch it off, and so the small job became a massive job. And sometimes the long way around is the shortest way home. And you know, God doesn't take shortcuts with us. He works in us because he wants to get us. He says, the work I begin in you, I'm going to bring to completion. And that's why sometimes for these people, they had to learn something in God, because God had to make them strong for battle. Couldn't take them, it says in Scripture, the short route, because they wouldn't be familiar with battle. He wanted to make them, and the word I want to pick up here, and it's come out now, as Charles was sharing now, as Kim shared, and it's the word courage. Courage. You know, in Openbaring, in Revelation chapter 21, it mentions four primary categories of people that aren't going to get into heaven. You know the first one that he mentions in Revelation 21, the cowardly. Then he says the murderers. Then he says the sexually immoral. Then he says the witches and the sorcerers. The first one is the cowardly. Snarks, ne? I want to say there are no cowardly in heaven. They didn't get into the promised land. Who? The cowardly. Who are the cowardly? The cowardly aren't those who don't believe in God. No. You can believe in God and still be cowardly. It's those who don't believe God. And I was by for skill doesn't believing in God and believing God. Because I've got to believe God in the midst of. Courage isn't the absence of fear. Nee. Courage is exercised in the face of fear. That's why they used to add this joke, you know, of Lord Mount Nelson. the head of the fleet of England in those days, those big sailing ships when they took on the French. He made his entire fleet, all his soldiers, they had a red banner crossed over their chest so that if they were shot, they wouldn't, the enemy wouldn't see them bleeding. I thought, yeah, that's slim dunk, yeah. I thought maybe that's why South Africa's army has brown pads. So, but it's this thing of courage. We need courage. As God's people, we need courage. But to confront what the enemy brings against us, it's got to be godly courage. And it's something we only get by pressing into God. It's not something you can generate in yourself. In Deuteronomy 1:28. So now the people are talking back now. It's these 10 who were faithless, who were cowards, because they didn't believe God's word. God says, I'm going to give you. And whenever God says, I'm going to give you, he then follows up, now go and take it. Interesting, eh? I'll give you salvation, but you go and take it. I'll give you Swellendam, but you go and take it. But I've got to believe God. That's why crossing over the Sea of Galilee, remember the storm came and they cried out, they woke Jesus up. And he says, oh, you faithless, perverse people. You know, why? Because it's not the storm. No, it's that you didn't believe me. I said, let's go across to the other side. So if Jesus says we're going across to the other side, we're going across to the other side. But yeah, we're in the midst of the storm. Don't worry, we're going across to the other side. And so there's something here that says, where can we go up? Our brethren, see, not outsiders. There's nearly Fayant, there's nearly Philistine. No, it's our brethren. And this is what we've got to watch. This is why we've got to encourage each other daily. I must encourage Charles today because I need Charles to encourage me tomorrow. And so we need to watch each other all the time. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. I've never seen walls go up to heaven. You know, when you get into fear, you exaggerate. It's always all the people. Ek wil net vir julle as ouderling sê, almal is teen julle. Nou wie is almal? Wel, dis oom so en so. And he counts for everybody. Sê, nee, is nie so nie. Yeah, you get so negative, you get so tied up into what God hasn't said. And I want us just to see something here. It says, they say, you see, when they say, I say, no, we need to concentrate on what he says. When we concentrate on what they say, what does the world say? No, we need to concentrate on what he says. And we'll see something in a moment. Because your point of fear is your point of failure. As a believer, your point of fear is your point of failure. Because fear cancels faith. As the voice said, you can't have faith and fear at the same time unless you're on some serious medication. It's not moontlik nie. So there's a need for me to take hold of this. And so this is why Jesus, he kept testing his disciples. And so if the Holy Spirit, in the light of what he wants to do, and his increasing eldership across Josh Gen, you know, churches by and large across the world are dying. No, they're dying. I was just sharing with Kim that, you know, we got 2,000 pastors, two decent pastora. 2,000 pastors a month resigning from the ministry in the United States. I mean, yeah, what is that going to say about the flock? You know, you strike the shepherd, the flock scatters. For whatever reason. In England, I'm hearing from one of our guys who's got a church right on the border of London that a lot of the churches are closing now because they used to get most of their income. This is across the board, churches. Most of their income came from hiring out their buildings in the week. It wasn't that the people were giving and tithing and being faithful in offerings. No, they survived by hiring their buildings out. But now COVID comes and you're not allowed to hire your buildings out anymore. So now it's like an inkomste. Said to them, these churches are closing down. He said some of his friends are desperate now, who are in ministry in other groups. And yet, for us, it is as Kim said, we can't keep up with growth. We were just saying one of our biggest needs in Josh Gen are lead elders. I mean, Phil will tell you that. Thank God, the faithfulness of God's people, is floating the ship. They say that Noah was the only man who could float a limited stock when the rest of the world was in a state of liquidation. Say, no, God does that well, you know. So our God sees to our needs. It's not just Noah and his stock, you know. So the thing is, we need to keep pressing into the Lord. Now, as many of you know, my poor Pammy went through a hang of a thing with me when I collapsed at home and had to go into hospital with an ambulance, and they found out I had cancer and my klein darum and then my groot darum. And then they said, okay, now it seems to be sorted out. And then I started my chemo, got to my fifth session, and then my cancer count went through the roof again. I'd go back into hospital. I don't know, we found out that it's in your liver. So they took out a small steak out of my liver. Then you got to come back, start chemo again, you know. And they know at the moment it's all clear. I said, yeah, you told me that last time, you blighters, you know. But the thing is that there's a need for me to stay focused not on what they say. You see, we get secured by what they say. Oh, no. I must get secured by what he says. Now, and it's important for us. And the only way I can get secured by what he says is by knowing what he says. And so this is why I thank God. I know my wifey, Pamela, every morning she's in the Word. And she gets miffed off with me. She's got a little study at the end of, we're upstairs. My daughter and son-in-law who lead the one congregation, Josh Gen congregation, are downstairs with their kids. So we lock ourselves up there sometimes just for some peace of mind. You know. But Pam's got two studies, one on that side upstairs and one on that side. So sometimes I come up and I say, Pam, and I find out where she is. But if she's busy with her quiet time, now sometimes I need something that I need something. Ons as mansmens, ons weet het, you know. En ons weet die vrou weet waar het is. Maar die vrou is besig. Sy is besig saam met die Here. Maar ek weet die Here verstaan. Because I'm head of the wife. So I'm head of the wife, it says, and the Lord's head of me. So sy sal verstaan. So I can come in, you know. Oh yeah, I mustn't do that. Sê, gee me those arrows, you know. Like, can't you see? But secretly in my heart, I love that. It's like the phone rang years ago, and Abigail, who's now married to one of our pastors, Brett, I heard her on the phone. She said, no, you can't speak to my mommy. And the other one said, but I must speak. No, you can't speak to my mommy. But I must speak to your mommy. Then eventually she said, listen, you can't speak to my mommy because my mommy is busy speaking to Jesus. And when she speaks to Jesus, nobody speaks to her. And I heard, okay, put on the phone. Now that excites me. I want to say the only way I can know what he's saying to me is by isolating myself to hear him. Now, I need to hear him. I mustn't hear him through someone else. This, what I can give you, maybe, let me tell you, some messages I preach, that I could preach the skin right off my rice pudding. I mean, yeah, I can preach. But let me tell you, the best preach you've heard, it'll just be milk skommel. The best. Paul says, I wish I could, but I can't. He said, the only way that you can get what God wants you to have is if you get into the kitchen yourself. He says, get into that closet, whatever that is in those days. Lock the door. And God says, when I see you meeting with me in secret, I will download. So my perception of God changes. And this is what I love about Joshua. Yes, Caleb was there. But when Moses finished with Joshua in the tent, with God in the tent, it says Joshua stayed there by the flap.
Maybe I'll just get something of an overflow. It said he didn't leave there. He stayed there. I thought, man, that's to do with the source of courage. See, to know God. Know God. And so Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 15, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? They said, the Son of Man. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say I am? I want you to know that it's important you know what you believe. Not what the Oudelinge, waar hulle glo. No, I receive from the Oudelinge, but I must establish what I believe. Like the one guy was asked, well, what do you believe? He says, no, I believe what our church believes. He says, well, what does your church believe? No, my church and I believe the same thing. You leave a lunch, you know. I mean, you know, so you can never get around to, but what do you believe? And this is why sometimes these Jehovah's Witnesses, the reason people don't let them into their homes is the Jehovah's Witness will take you down a path that you don't want to go. Because we don't know what we believe. Those Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. Well, it's uitgeslaap, yeah. They know, it's like a printer's tray. They start with you in this hook and they work their way down to this hook. Now all you need to do is say, listen, before we start, can we just pray to God? They'll say, yes. Say, but I want you to know, I pray to God in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. They'll say, no, we don't do that. So, well, I want you to know, that's the starting point, eh? But I must know what I believe. So that it can give me courage. So this thing of who do they say that I am? Now Jesus said to them, and it was very important that he wants to know, but who do you say that I am? And you know, when I came out of the surgery the first time, and again, some of you might know, that I actually died twice in theater, the first op. Because when they were sewing me up, they suddenly realized that I'd lost all my blood pressure and that I was going, you know. So they had to connect me up again. And it looks like, well, I don't know, it was 23 or 24,000 rands worth of blood. It's quite a lot of blood that they had to put into me before I came out of that theater. But the thing is, whether I came out of the theater or not, into the right room, not into the dark room, you know, so that I could actually come out and continue with what God has for me, in actual fact was taken away from me, but it was important that when I went into that situation, I can say, I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded. I am persuaded. And this here gives us courage. We need this kind of courage. And it's not so important what you hear. It's important how you hear. How are you hearing? Because sometimes what I've heard before, I've heard so often that when I hear something else and the Holy Spirit's trying to convince me of something, I don't hear properly. And that's why Jesus says here in Luke 8, verse 18, he says, therefore take heed how. How you hear. You see, it's not so important what I hear. It's how I hear. I'm open to hear God. Maybe there are areas in my life that I need to realign, recalibrate. So I need to submit everything to what God's Word says. It's very, very important. And I want to trust God. And I'm going to keep this very short. But I want to trust God to fill your mind with possibility thinking in God this morning. You see, I mentioned that the cowardly are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That fear is the prime tool of the enemy, because fear cancels faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the only way that I can stay secure and stay an overcomer is by believing God. Because James says in his epistle, near the end of the New Testament, he says, even the devil believes in God, and it does him no good. I know the devil believes in God. But there's the world of difference between, as I've said, believing in God and believing God. So Joshua and Caleb believed God. They said, their whole argument was, God said he's going to give us this land. God said he would go before us. And if God says he's going to give us something, he's not a man that he will lie, or the son of man that he'll go back on his word. So I want to say, even with this cancer, now I've got to go back now, end of next week, go and sit down and start the next chemo session. Now I'm on a break this coming week, and I'm so looking forward to it. Yeah. Because that chemo is like battery acid. Yeah. Does nah. But the thing is, I'm going to hear then also the cancer count. Now it's got to come down to a certain level. I mean, it's come down phenomenally once they took the steak out of my liver. But now it's got to drop even more. But the thing is, if I'm going there anticipating, there's a need for me to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar says, if you've been bowing to the idol, and he says he actually liked these young guys, but now they've been caught praying and not bowing to his idol. He says, if you don't bow before me and pray to me, there's going to be serious repercussions. And they said, listen, King Nebuchadnezzar, we want you to know we only bow before the Lord our God, the God of heaven and earth. And I just want you to know that you heating up this fire, and we know that the men who threw them into the fire was so hot it burned them, putting them into the fire. And they said, doesn't matter what you're going to do with the fire, let us just make this known to you. And I love this. This is courage. Our God is going to deliver us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, we're still winners. Now that's courage. You see, I want you to know that I am persuaded, as Pam is, as I'm trusting those that I wanted to massage the word of God into, that we would be filled with courage. That if I'm to leave this life through some, whether it's an accident or disease, or suddenly I have a heart attack, and you say, yeah, leave it alone. Will was talking about courage. Did you hear? He had a heart attack and he died here in our morning congregation. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. No, so if I leave this life and I wake up in the presence of God, the attitude in my heart is, I expected much more. I was believing you for much more. I don't even know what I'm doing here, but I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God will deliver us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, we're still winners. Because we're not essentially human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We're essentially spirit beings having a temporary human experience. Ons is nie hier vir ewigheid nie. We're passing through. It says we're strangers, we're aliens. Yeah, but some of us, we're living like this is it. And we're so afraid. I mean, we need brown pants. We're so afraid. We're terrified of dying. Let me tell you, and this is good news for us. Nobody gets out of this life alive. Nobody. So whoever's gone, and whoever you are amongst you is the next to go. Don't worry, you following. Everybody's got to go. But the reason I can take hold of it as courage. And I shared this with a young lady having chemo. As I believe Joshua and Caleb were filled with the word of God, and the word of God filled them with courage. It's not false hope. Like I'll just pretend. But oh, yum. I guess your bunch was thin. No. You can be a little reserved about transitioning. Because I've never been there before. They say, oh, you went there twice in the last operation. I said, well, I can't remember seeing anything there. But one thing I do know is that when one transitions, there's something of an understanding I need to have that removes the element of fear. So the reason I'm touching on this is because God gave a word again through Martin, confirmed here. God wants to do something. He wants to bring the church to another level. But on every level, there's another devil. So it speaks about demons, powers, principalities, till you get to the devil himself. Some people have said, "Oh, young, the devil's on my case." I said, maybe he was on Billy Graham's case, but I don't think you're that important. You know, don't worry. You must have already got one of these little demiurges, you know. So don't worry too much. But when we move into what God has for us, I remember my wife's father saying years ago, I've never forgotten it. He said, he said these words to me. Some people are praying for revival. He says, they don't know what they're praying for. If revival broke out, you won't sleep. He says, you'll be so busy in the things of God, you will be exhausted running into what God is going to do through revival. I thought, that's true, you know. And sometimes we need to press into God with great courage and anticipation that there's something God wants me involved in that I need great courage for. There's something that the Lord has for us. But I believe with all my heart this thing of another level, another devil, that very often the thing the devil's going to touch you with is the thing he knows he can cripple you through. Some people through their children. Oh, yeah. My parents will tell you, me and my clan connection. Oh, yeah, something happens to my grandchildren, I'm into the serious mode of prayer. Night and day. So much so, Pam thinks I love my grandchildren more than I love her. I say, no, isn't he, Sonny? But there is a need for me to understand that the enemy, he knows what switch to flick to get you to go into fear. And let me tell you, that word, die groot ka, it's not that bad. Because statistically, about 70% of you are going to die from cancer. Leave the lump. So let me stay in the shadows. If I stay in the shadows, I'll tell the devil, I won't trouble you, don't trouble me. I said, no, it doesn't work that way. It says, and we will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we won't love our own lives to death. Now, why am I saying this? Because courage ultimately, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, won't go there. But Hebrews chapter 2 says that he took upon himself the form of flesh so that he might, in becoming man and dying, free us from that which has held us bondage all our lives, even the fear of death. You know what people feel most? Death. It's inevitable. Leave alone. You're going to transition. But here's what takes the sting of death away. Knowing that I can't die. Courage. Courage. I can't die. Wilma Ray is never going to die. You can go from here and tell people, at our preacher this morning, if you think the faith teachers in the States have got something, let me tell you, this had something. He's not only not going to overcome sickness, but he's never going to die. I'm never going to die. So sitting in my last, penultimate chemo session, there was a young woman there, and she was heartbroken. We were the last two in the chemo session. A young woman. And had got a small child, she told me. And she started to get tearful, and she said, you know, this is where the cancer has regressed to. And I'm having this to try and give me a little more time. But I've been told that I'm going to die. She started getting tearful. I said, oh, well, I'm never going to die. Yeah, it only checks me out, you know. Like some people, they go through chemo, they get cancer, they go weird, eh? I mean, they hold on to anything. I said, no, well, I'm never going to die. She said, oh, yes. I said, no, I'm never going to die. He said, oh. I said, no, I can't die because I've already died. She said, oh. Could see her mind, you know, this poor woman trying to think this through. I said, no. I've already died. That's why I can't die. You see, by faith, I died 2,000 years ago. I died on a cross with a man, Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle says in Galatians 2:20, you look at me, but you're looking at a dead man. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. I died. And he goes on in Romans chapter 6 and he says, not only did I die, but I told her, I was buried. I mean, that got her attention. I could see. I said, no, I died by faith. I was buried by faith. And the way I showed this to everybody was by being baptized. I was put under the water. I was buried. And then I said I was resurrected from the dead. I came out from under the water. And I associated by faith my life with Jesus Christ. That is salvation. That is canceling fear. That is taking me into the realm of being courageous. That gives me my entrance into eternal glory with Jesus Christ, my Savior. It isn't putting up a hand in a meeting. That's an indication of responding to the love of God. It's giving my life for His death. Not my life for His life. Oh, no, you don't even want to go there. Well, you can't get into what He has for you unless you die with Him, Paul says in Romans 6. He says, I've got to die to live. And so I give my life for His death. But through His death, He gives me life. So I can't die. I've died. And the joy of praying with her before I left there, she was different when I left. Because she believed Him. It was a work of God. I couldn't give her anything. I could just tell her what I'd been given. And I want to say this is courage. You know what Swellendam and the surrounding area needs? They need men and women of courage. Not men and women who are running out there looking for a Goliath. But men and women who are confronting that Goliath in different forms. Something's happened, I've lost my job, lost my health, my family's going through difficulty, but I know in whom I have believed. I believe that all things will work together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I want you to know the reason I don't fear death is because I've died. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, therefore, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant of this truth, of those who have previously transitioned from this life to be with Christ, for they have merely, and he says it four times, fallen asleep. And then he concludes by saying that Christ is going to return with a trumpet. He himself, I always pictured an angel coming, you know, no, no, it's Jesus himself with the trumpet. And he's going to wake all of those, and it says, who are asleep. Lovely word that I, you know, the older you get, the more you enjoy your sleep. Eh? Oh, yeah. Especially winter. Eh? Sunday afternoon, a little bit of sun shining on the bed. When you lie back, oh, yeah. So one day I'm going to fall asleep. And here's the truth. You don't know when you fall asleep. Tonight, put the clock in front of you and watch it. Tomorrow morning, you won't know what time you fell asleep. But you'll know the moment you wake up. And so I'll know when I wake up. And I'll wake up, I'm going to trust that I'm going to be with those who are filled with courage. Because they dared to believe their God. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. And as a result, I'm going to be that billboard, that testimony. It says a letter written of by God, being read of by men and women. I'm subject to everything anybody else is subject to. Even transitioning from this life. But I want you to know that in Christ, I have all that He promised. In Christ, I'm secured for eternity. In Christ, I'm going to fulfill God's purpose for my life in this place at this time. And that's what I'm trusting God for you. I wonder if we could bow our heads together before the Lord. Father, I know there are so many challenges that come to us and we need you. We're such a needy people. But thank you that you said, come cast your care upon me. Because I care for you. Thank you for the lives of a Joshua and a Caleb. Thank you that they dared to believe you. That it took 40 years, yes, but then eventually they took your people into what you had promised. Lord, I ask that we won't be those who have to die in the wilderness because we didn't believe you. But we would be those who, in spite of, will say, our God said it, we'll believe it. We'll be those who know that he has secured for us, for our loved ones, whoever has submitted their life to Christ, given their life for his death, that through that death they might be given eternal life. That we're going to be together forever throughout eternity. And I want to ask if there's somebody here this morning, you're saying, you know, well, I've never made that transition. I've been holding on to my life, holding on to what I value, my dreams, my aspirations. I want to submit that to Jesus Christ. Yes, this thing called fear has controlled me. Anxiety has controlled me. I want to release that. I've never done that before. I just want to say, if there's somebody here this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ by saying, by faith, I'm going to die with Christ. By faith, I'm going to be buried with Christ. By faith, I'm going to be resurrected with Christ. That I too, like Paul the Apostle, can say, where, O death, is your sting? Come now, where, O grave, is your victory? It has been swallowed up in Jesus Christ. And if you are here this morning, and as I say, you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you in closing. Just want every head bowed. I always see this as a moment in eternity. And if you are here, you've never made that decision. Never, never, never. You've never had that kind of relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you if you could raise your hand right now. I just want to pray for you. Is there somebody here? And I take nothing for granted. Is there somebody? You say, well, I've never made that decision. I've never taken that step. Is there anybody? Anybody here? Say, I want to secure that now. Otherwise, I must accept this morning that you too can say, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded. I'm not governed by what they say. I'm governed by what my God has said. I dare to believe my God. So, Father, I want to thank you for this time together. I thank you for the prophetic. Thank you for words that come, build us up. Thank you for leadership. Thank you for elders and deacons that you bring into the house. We say thank you. But, Lord, I want to ask for us as your people. And I know that if not today, it will be tomorrow or the week following or the month or the year following. We're going to be confronted with something. I ask that we'd live out a good testimony. Oh, that people would see that we don't only believe in you, but we believe you. That no weapon formed against us will prosper. That our lives are secured in you. That we're destined for the throne room of God. As strange as that may seem, Lord. Fill us with your anointing. Fill us with your presence. Your presence, because in your presence there's fullness of joy. We are yours, dear God. I pray now for this house. I pray for the life of this church. I pray for the testimony that is going to come through it. I pray for every believer you're still going to be adding. I believe there's going to be a real move in this town and through the life of this church. Because we dare to believe. You're our God, we are your people. And we as God's people say, amen. Amen. God bless you, encourage you. And I'm looking forward to hearing great stories that are going to come out of you. Amen. Why not? Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you.